Good evening, everyone. This is Victoria with the Ask Spirit Now show, and it is such a joy to be with each and every one of you this evening. I know there are a lot of you out in California, and I'm sure it's still light there. Here in Georgia, it is actually pouring down rain. We're supposed to have snow, and it's windy, and I tell you, it's been quite a day. I haven't left the house except to feed the birds, and I got soaking wet, but they did appreciate it. So it is a pleasure to be with you, and I have a special guest this evening who is Rose Gauthier from the Healing Work Center in Fort Myers, Florida. I almost forgot where you lived. I knew you were in Florida. And she's our, and we're going to be taking calls tonight for discussions and for live readings. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is living in your truth, not someone else's. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So if you have comments for Rose and I, or if you want to get a quick reading with both of us, just give us a call. And I think they tell you how to do that on BBS Radio, so just follow the directions and you can tune right in. How are things down in Florida, Rose?
Absolutely wonderful. Unlike you, it's not raining, my windows are open, and it's just the perfect temperature here.
Oh, my gosh, completely different weather, I tell you. Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
I tell you. But, you know, I'm excited tonight, Rose, because I know you and I have gone through a lot of shifts ourselves. Rose and I are doing a project that we're not going to talk about it till it comes out in about a year and a half, but we both had so many incredible changes, and I will share that, that we have been, a lot of it has been because of some past life regressions. And, both Rose and I do those, so I want to make sure before the end of the evening that you know how to reach both of us, because past life regressions, can make a difference. And you know what, Rose? They make a difference in how you live your life and living in your truth, don't they?
Yes, they do. As you well know, quite some interesting things will come up in a past life regression. And, unusual things that are so pertinent to your life right now that you and I, it's been knocking our socks off.
Well, I tell you, I've been going through so many changes that it's been wonderful. Of course, with change comes some interesting phenomena as well. But it was interesting because today, I mean, I don't know about all of you that are listening, but I was raised in the South and Mississippi, Georgia, all that area. And it was always like you did what your family, and I'll tell a real quick story, Rose, and I'm sure you've got yours to share with everyone, but in my family, people were lawyers. And so when I turned 30, around my 30s, I was a professional singer all my life and loved it. Oh my gosh, it brought me so much joy. But my family always said, you know, oh, you gotta be a professional. Well, of course singing is a profession, but anyway, I went to law school because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I thought it would make my family happy, and especially my mother. And I thought, oh, my goodness, it'll make my granddad. Of course, he was dead. He wouldn't have cared less. But that's not how I believed at the time. So I went to law school. I don't regret one ounce of it. It was part of my soul contract. But it's not my joy, you know, of life to do the fighting in court. It's my joy to counsel. So, you know, I didn't live in my truth up until just recently. So do you have any truth to that in your life where you did something, Rose, that you wish? It's not that you wish you hadn't have done it now, but you did it because of somebody else?
Yes, I had a very similar situation in the fact that trying to please others, and I came from a blue-collar family and a very ethnic family. They're from outside the United States, so very old world in the fact that as a woman, I didn't need an education because I was going to grow up and get married and have children. And this was my parents' plan for me. And unfortunately, it wasn't my plan. But I did go to school for a while, but I had to fight to do that, and the only way I could do it was getting a scholarship. But there were other things in my life as far as raising my son, and my mother would always have tremendous input in that as well, and I always tried to please my mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I did the same thing. It was always about the Cinderella story. It was like you would grow up and you would be rescued by some man and life would go on. And that wasn't my sole contract either. My sole contract was to be independent, to be self-reliant. And so I had the most difficult time in relationships because I had this stable datum over here that says, well, you just get married, everything will be taken care of. And everyone in the family, I would look at them and I would say, well, shoot, you know, you did that, but you didn't get taken care of. You know, this didn't happen for you. And so what happens is that you go and you have these soul contracts. And I know we've talked about this before. You have these soul contracts that you're just destined to do. And if you don't do them, you end up having kind of some, life doesn't go as smoothly. So contracts don't always go smoothly either, but they go a lot smoother when you're supposed to do what you're doing. So, but you know what I wanted to share too, and do you know what I'm talking about too, Rose, when you seem to fight what you're supposed to be doing in life? I know there are a lot of listeners out there that they feel like they're supposed to go down one path, and yet their parents or somebody in their family or friends will say, oh no, you can't do that. I mean, do you have friends like that that tell you, you know, oh, Rose, you can't do that or that type
every
of thing?
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean,
it's a matter of listening to your own intuition, but more importantly, your heart.
Yeah.
And standing in your power and moving forward with what is best for you and not what others' perceptions are.
Right.
What is best.
Well, it's a cycle of action, and it carries on for generations. And I want to share a story with everyone that this was a distant friend. I really didn't know this person well, but there was a generation of being lawyers in Mississippi. And so this person had a daughter, and the daughter became very ill. She was in law school, first year of law school, and I tuned into her because the person asked me to do a reading, and I tuned into this young lady, and she didn't really want to do that game anymore. She had other dreams that she wanted to do, but her family said, oh no, her mother and father said, oh no, you must be a lawyer, must be. And so she became ill, and I kept trying to tell this particular person who was calling in for the reading that your daughter probably will never get well until you finally let her know that she has a right and you know, to go the direction that she wants to go. I lost track of them. I haven't heard back from them. But the truth was, I looked up the illness that the girl had, and it was in you know, different books that talk about illnesses and the emotional effect on them. And you know what, Rose, the problem she had was not being able to live the life she wanted. She felt trapped and not being able to make her own decisions. And I thought that was phenomenal. Probably she'll end up going to be an attorney, and who knows what'll happen to her. You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I can almost promise you, and I know that you've done, as you know, hundreds of readings as well, her sole contract was to bring in parents like this so that she could learn to be self-reliant and speak her mind and do what she's supposed to do. That was what she had created. I mean, it's almost easy to see, except in your own life, of course, you can't. I know a lot of people, you know, that are listening, you're thinking, oh, well, Rose and I just have, you know, our life is a bed of roses, because we do have the skills and we do have the knowledge. Yet with your own life, you always need to get help from other people as well. And that's why there are people like Rose and I to help, you know, folks that are going through stuff, because it's hard to do it on your own. I mean, it's, you've got God, you've got spirit, but we are all representatives of spirit here on earth. So when you're saying, God, please help me, sometimes a phone call to someone like Rose or myself is the way you connect with spirit. So that's just my viewpoint on it.
It's not weakness to ask for help. The universe, God and spirit want nothing more than to help us.
Yeah.
So, but we need to ask.
Well, I, you know, we do need to ask. And I know that so many times people say, but I do ask. And I always say to them, but are you listening? Because
yes.
I, mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever thought about how many times in a day, Rose, that we are spinning our wheels thinking? How can spirit connect with us when we're in our minds?
That's true.
I mean,
and, you know, especially those of us that have the need to be in control all the time, too.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I do want to let everyone know that's listening out there that we are taking calls. So if you have a comment on this or you want to get a live reading, just, you know, give us a call. I don't know the numbers to BBS, but I'm sure when you're tuned in that they give you the numbers on there. And those that are out of the country can call in as well. I think it's very interesting because when we're living in our own truths and not someone else's, I feel, Rose, that the biggest challenges come in then, because that's when you have to be strong in who you are and in your connection with spirit. Because I don't know about your family, Rose, but if you, in my family, it was like you had to dress a certain way, you had to look a certain way, you had to be a certain way. And when you go to find your own self, your own identity, it's almost like they feel like it's a... Well, yeah, it's like, what'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Who am I? Because all these other things, right.
Yeah, and then those family members are like, oh, my gosh, what happened to my child? Oh, she has turned to the devil, or, you know, someone has gotten hold of her. And I will tell y'all right out front, my son's in a cult. I love him with all my heart. But he had to do what he had to do. He had to branch off in his own journey, because he wasn't able to do it within the family. Eventually he'll get out of it. I mean, they all do. Most people do. Either that or they die in them and, you know, have to come back to the next life and figure out what in the world happened. But the truth about it is that I feel now, as I'm, you know, learning my journey on this, you know, out of the grief so much of the years before were in grief over this, but it's brought me to such an understanding that he had a journey to make. And this may be the only way that he could have made the journey. I mean, you know the story of it.
Yes.
Can you see that, Rose, and why will go join a cult or something and leave their family?
Yep, because, well, I left my family 10 years ago, and rather at an older age, but like your son, I could not make the decisions and plans and changes in my life with the family. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, like you said, they do have expectations of you. Now, my mother's explanation for my running away from home at the age of 45 was that I was going through menopause.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's an interesting one. Have mercy. Yeah, I mean, usually people have affairs and stuff, maybe, but not run away from home. That's an interesting one. That's a very, very interesting one. So are we all still here? Hello?
Yes, and you have a caller on line one.
Well, why is it that you're seeing them and I'm not?
I don't know, but there's Lisa from California on line one.
Okay. Hello. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Tell me going on, your question. I was just letting them know that I can't see anything, so I'll figure it out in a minute. Oh, there we go.
Well,
I see
actually,
it. Okay. Yeah.
It's actually a question along the lines as to what the topic is. I'm an actress, and so I've had to deal with my parents not really supporting what I do for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I still am pursuing it, even though it's pretty slow right now. And I just was wondering if you can pick up on if I'm on the right track as far as what I'm doing as an actor, or should I open my mind up to maybe doing different, I don't know, just being open to a different field?
Well, now, I just want to make one comment, and then I'll let Rose take over. I first off, I know that things are slower in Hollywood because I have a friend that's an actor. And he's been very, very active for a long time, and it's gotten a lot slower now, so I understand that. But, you know, I have to share with you, Lisa, that I feel like you have a lot of talents, and there are other aspects of acting that you can still stay in and still be a part of that field. So I still see you staying in it in a beautiful way, but you can get, you can always open your heart and your ways of doing things. You can even open them up. But I'm going to let Rose kind of huddle in on this one. Rose, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Lisa,
uh-huh.
One of the things that I picked up on you is the situation with your parents. And what I'm feeling is they're telling you to get a real job. And are they, have they been humiliating you in regards to this job?
Oh, no. I mean, my dad's more supportive than my mother, but my mother is always like, okay, when are you going to move back to Alabama? I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Okay, because I also feel that there's a little bit of anger associated with it, too, and I'm not sure if it's coming from you or if it's coming from the parents.
It's probably more me.
Okay.
But I'm not really conscious of it. I've always just had this underlying thing against, like, my mom and her own opinion of what I do.
Right. Okay, that's where the anger is coming from, because you're right, it really does come from you. Now, one of the things while you were talking to Victoria that I picked up on as well, too, as far as acting, I do see a group of children, and I see you teaching children. Have you ever gotten involved in a project like that?
No, but you want to know what's interesting? I'm currently staying with a friend who's got two kids, and I keep finding myself, like, wanting to sit down with them and connect with them and come up with really cool ideas, because I find them too
fascinating. I think you can educate children as far as acting or help them do little plays. I see you working with children.
Hmm. I saw that, too, actually. You remember where I said you can branch out using your acting? Lisa, I saw that very same thing. Do you know my daughter's in an acting class, and they're charging $60 for 6 lessons, and they're going to do little mini skits, and it's just a bunch of kids, and it's a lady who was an actress.
There you go.
That's who's doing it. She's charging $60. Probably in L.A. you charge more. But if you get 10 or 12 kids, Lisa, and you did this every 6 weeks with a new group of kids, you know, it would be some supplemental income for you. But I saw the kids, too. That's why I feel like you could go into schools, and you got to get creative. But what? And then I'll let Rose take over after this. But I feel like that you still need to stay in the acting. I don't feel like you need to get out of the acting. I think you just need to get creative with what you do with the acting. Does that help with that? Make sense with that? I mean, the other issue with the go ahead. Go ahead. What did you want to say, Lisa?
I was just going to say I could look into it. I've never really seriously thought about teaching children.
Well, I saw a group of children around you. I feel that you, it's a talent untapped by you, but you are very good with children, and you can relate with them very, very well. So your desire to connect with these two children where you are right now, mm-hmm. is the universe pushing you in the right direction? They're trying to, you know, knock, knock, Lisa, look at what we're trying to show you here.
Okay.
Another thing, Lisa, too, with children, and I think you're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to teach them how to be an actor. But you can take 4 or 5 year olds and daycare places or after school programs or whatever. There are a million places. And you could just teach them, okay, now let's be a lion right now. I mean, listen, my daughter went down to the Alliance Theater when she was a child down in Atlanta, and she learned how to be a lion. Okay, let's be a lion now. Okay, now be a little kitten. And get the feeling of what that little kitten feels like. And so you're getting them to get into the roles of the feeling. And it isn't just about acting. It's about getting them in touch with their feelings.
Feelings. So I was going to say the same thing. You're going to teach them a valuable lesson on how to be in touch with their feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very powerful. That's a different way of healing, Lisa. Many children are not in touch. They're suppressed. You know, coming from single parent homes, they need to learn how to express, and acting's the perfect way to do it.
Mm-hmm. It is. And actually, I'm going to be working with kids myself, Lisa, doing that type of thing here in Georgia, because I'm having to out-create some of the situations myself. So that's a very powerful message for you. And I also got that you just need to surround yourself with very positive people right now in situations. Do everything you can to avoid, you know, getting into any kind of unjoyful situations, because mm-hmm. you will find that you will bring in more work, you know, as far as acting jobs, commercials, whatever, if you're more joyful than if you get more into that negative stream of energy. Yeah, well, it's true. And, you know, we all have those moments, but at the same time, you know, most of the time we can pull out of it. So, and then I also wanted to confirm that, yes, I think your intuition is right. I think you do need to branch out some. Just stay in your field so that you are recognized by people that can assist you and help you and find you, okay?
Got you.
Yeah, because you don't want to branch out too far where people don't, you know that you're an actress.
Yeah, and because I don't think I'm qualified to do much. Right?
Well, but, you know, there are many. And listen, why not audition for some of these reality shows? I mean, when I was in Hollywood and I was an actress, I did reality shows. And it's been years ago, but I did, you know, a lot of reality show type of things. They're big now, and you can audition, and they're looking for trained actors. To do that, people don't think they are, but you know, you can go do that. I mean, why not? They're making a ball. They're having a wonderful time. It's fun.
Lisa, I also want you to keep a positive attitude about your gifts and your abilities. You haven't even tapped all of them yet. And I just heard you make a comment to Victoria. Well, I don't know if I could do anything else. You have beautiful talents. You are in the right field, and ask the universe to assist you in thinking outside the box and spreading your wings a little bit more. You've been limiting yourself.
Wow. Okay.
You can fly, my dear.
I believe that.
Very good. Very good.
I really do.
Well, listen, thank you so much.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm going to take everything you've said into account and sit with that for a while.
Well, meditate with it. And, Lisa, I want to appreciate you calling in. It was nice chatting with you.
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah, and have a good time in California. Good night.
Okay.
Or good afternoon. It's still, you know, it's funny. It's amazing to me how we have such different time. Here we all are in the same universe, but we got to have different times, so. It's just amazing to me how all that was created. Do you ever wonder about that, Rose? About the different times?
I can't even keep track of what time is where or what.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's tomorrow in Australia, and it's yesterday someplace else.
Oh, I know. I had to wake up the other day. I did a reading on a lady in Sweden, and it was Australia. And I woke up. I had to get up at 7 o'clock to do a reading for her so that it was 10 o'clock her time.
Wow.
And I thought, well, this is very interesting. We were both alert and alive, so it worked out fine. So, but you know, one of the things that I want to make a comment is that one reason why a child sometimes grows up thinking they have to be like their parents and not themselves is because we as parents do not honor our children as the purposeful, individual, unique person, not child, but person that they are. And because a child is only a child for like about 14 years. And all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, excuse me, but I'm an adult. Now that legally they're not an adult, but it's, I don't know how you raised your son. My first child, I did not raise that way. I'll be honest with you. I did not raise him because I didn't know. And so I didn't treat him as an individual, although a lot of times I did. So I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't do it. I did a better job than my parents did. And with my daughter now, oh, my gosh, she knows she's an individual. She says all the time, I am so special.
Very good.
I am so unique. I want y'all to remind yourself when you're working with your kids, try to ask them. I think I learned this from Deepak Chopra, and I give him credit for it. But he says, if you can help your children to find the uniqueness of them, what they love in their life, and then they go out using that uniqueness in the world, they will make a living. They will do well because they will be in joy and they will be doing what they were created here to do.
Correct. I much like you, my son is older, so I didn't learn the lesson with him, but I have with the grandchildren, so it's different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our children are just, you know, passing through us, and I think it's so fascinating because as parents, we dedicate our lives to our children, and we're expected to. We should. But at the same time, they don't want too much dedication because we then put too much expectation on them. Well, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. And a lot of these children, I know that they're being labeled metaphysically, you know, the crystal children, the rainbow children, the indigo children. And I don't know that that's so great to label them, but I guess in trying to find a nomenclature to describe them, sometimes they have a difficult time in school because they can see a better way of doing math. And I know when I work with my daughter and she's like, well, I can do it this way. You know what I say? Oh, okay. Well, let's try it that way. Let's look at it that way. And do you know she'll figure it out herself? But the way
Yeah.
And listen, they have it. I'm going to do a little plug here for Time for Learning. It's an online learning program for kids up to the eighth grade. But I'm going to tell you, they have cartoons and they have innovative, creative ways for right brain children to learn. It isn't the traditional way. And do you realize what we're doing for our children when we allow them to learn on their own the way they can best learn? I mean, I think it's phenomenal.
Well, the information will stick. Unfortunately, when you and I were raised, memorization was the way we learned.
Yeah, well.
We were little parrots.
That's right. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember much about it. I mean, I don't remember anything except when I go to learn now with Anya, and it's all very, very right-brained. I'm learning it. I'm actually learning, and I can recall it better now because I'm like, oh, I learned that. And it's a different way of learning. And it helps them, I feel, to be in a better emotional state of being because it's not being forced on them. And if they're in an emotional state of being that's good, do you know that they'll be far more abundant in their life? Because abundance comes from being in a good emotional state of being.
Yes,
true abundance. Now, you know, Rose, a lot of people make a lot of money and then they lose it and then they make a lot of money, then they lose it. They make a lot of money and they lose it. Their emotional state of being is not real good. They have the ability to make money, but they're losing it. So those kinds of folks, you know, that's good that they can make it. But I always say the emotional state of being is where we keep our abundance. That's where it comes from.
An additional abundance begins to flow in when you have a good emotional state of being.
Yeah, I mean,
I experienced that this week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, things were a little bit slow for me as well, and a situation happened on Monday that made me extremely happy, and then all of a sudden that same day I got 5 calls for work.
Okay, so isn't that interesting that it didn't matter what it was, it made you joyful.
Yes,
and
it
when
did.
When you became joyful, then things turned around. And you know, folks, it doesn't even matter what made Rose joyful. That isn't even the point. It was just that she was joyful. And that is such a good example, Rose, of what all of these folks out there are saying. You got to be in the, you know, got to be in the moment. You got to be joyful. Do things that you love, because if you don't, you get so bogged down that I think sometimes people just like wonder why they're living. That, you know, it's why am I living? Because things seem so dutiful and so burdensome. And oh my gosh, yes, I know how to be I'm gonna make something up, but you know, yes, I know how to be a lawyer. I'll just use that because that way I won't be touching on anybody's toes. I know how to be a lawyer, but I don't really enjoy it. So, you know,
know how to do that and you don't enjoy it, can you imagine the energy within yourself and surrounding yourself that other people can feel and see by the look on your face? So how can you have abundance or anything joyful come into you if you're in that state of mind and emotions.
Well, I mean, you can't. And the fact right. is that a very good mentor, I believe her name was Judy Potter, told me you don't have to do what you do best. Do what you love.
There you
because
go.
There are many, many, many talents that we have, all of us. All of us have many, many talents. But if we don't, and we may have gotten skilled as an engineer. I have a very good friend out in California who I believe is an engineer. And she doesn't really enjoy it, believe it or not. And so, you know, she's working now on finding what she does love because she did exactly what her parents told her to do. And she lived their life for them. She made good money, which is interesting because she got in a field that, you know, did real good money. But she's very young. If she kept this up to her 50s or her 60s, I question what might happen, you know, to any of us when we are unhappy. After a long time, our bodies can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's why people in their 50s and their 60s, you know, end up getting sick is because they have lived in unjoyful times. Living in your own truth and not someone else's. I really believe if we truly do it, and I'm going to take my own advice tomorrow. I'm going to do again what really brings me joy. And that's what I'm going to ask Spirit now for. I'm going to say, okay, this is what brings me joy. I will trust that this is what I shall do. And now bring it on.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same thing and take another look at things too. And that's actually excellent advice. It's something that we should do on a regular basis and just take stock of our life and you know, does this bring me joy?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you know what, folks, everybody that's listening, 5 years ago, let's say that you loved putting bicycles together. I don't know where I get these ideas from, but it brought you joy because maybe you had a young kid that loved watching you. Now that child is grown or whatever, and you don't find the joy in it, but you spent, you know, 10 years at it, and you got 5 years of education in putting bikes together. So for you, it's like, well, that's all I can do. And I say, no, there's probably something else. Now, you may not want to stop making the bikes until you can find out what it is else that you're supposed to do. Because, you know, just we can't be so spiritual that we forget about our responsibilities here on earth.
Right.
Yeah. So keep making the bikes. But while you're making the bikes, take the time to meditate and find out what you really do like to do. I mean, there may be something else about bikes that you like. Or there might be just something completely out in left field that you hadn't even thought of yet. And that's when Spirit, when you get these really good ideas in your head and in your heart, that's Spirit talking to you and saying, wow, you know, this is what you really, really should do. And I'm going to tell you something, Rose, and I'd love your opinion on this. It isn't always easy for folks like Rose and I who are very spiritually minded, very psychic sensitive, very intuitive to sit there and say, you must do this or you should do this because it's your journey. And sometimes if we sit there and tell you everything that is, you don't get to have the journey.
Exactly. Right.
So how do you deal with that, Rose, when somebody really wants to know specificity? And we all want to know it. I mean, but sometimes that kills the journey.
Well, it does kill the journey, and the whole process is all about the destination, is enjoying and having fun getting there. And basically what happens with me when I'm reading people, I will tell them I'm not going to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And I always counsel them to go into their own heart. Now, you know, I can tell them various options if Spirit gives them to me. And
right,
there are times that we don't get the information because they're not meant to know that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't stress enough how it's important for us to go into our heart because that's where the answers are.
Yeah, well, that's very true. I know that today when I was working with someone, I said, and they pretty much tell me the same thing, you know, that if it brings joy, when you go to make a decision in your life, if it brings you joy, if it brings you happiness, if it brings you peace, then you probably know that's the way to go. Because there are moments, we all need help, and we all have friends, and we all have our spiritual counselors, and hopefully y'all will call Rose and I. And, but there are moments when you don't have anyone to call. And it's in those moments when you have to trust yourself. And it's in those moments you have to say, well, gee, you know, I've been doing this for 5 hours now and I'm miserable. I'm really miserable.
Right.
Oh, wow. What is this telling me? Now, I mean, I'm not saying that every moment of our life has to be enjoy, because sometimes we do have to do things that are sometimes can be tedious. But overall, if every day that you wake up, you know, you find that you're pretty miserable, then you know something needs to change. Donna, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are
Donna?
You? Donna? Hello?
Are you there, Donna? Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you today?
Doing great. Where are you calling from, Donna?
Florida.
Oh, good. Are you around the Fort Myers area?
I'm actually in a little south of that, actually, in the Fort Lauderdale area.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay, you're on the east coast of Florida.
I'm on the east coast of Florida, that's correct.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good.
Well, what can we do for you this evening, Donna?
Well, I'm a little, at this point in my life, I'm a little bit, need some direction as far as, my spiritual life and career wise.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a little, you know, confused right now on the state of the economy. I'm, an engineer and that's what I work as. However, I would like to do something a lot more fulfilling.
Okay. All right. Well, first off, and I'm going to say this while give Rose just a minute, and then I will keep doing your engineering. It's interesting that I spoke about that earlier. Keep doing your engineering, but I feel like that with that, you have a lot of talent as an engineer.
Yeah.
And you really do. But go ahead, Rose. I see what you know, and I'm going to pull some cards for
Donna, her. One of the things that I picked up on you when you were talking about your career, I saw a road, and I saw it branch out to, like, six different veins or paths. And quite honestly, I've never seen someone with that many opportunities for them. And what Spirit is telling me, that you're a very talented woman, and you have many talents that you can tap into. One of them feels like art to me. Do you draw or do paintings or anything like that?
Not currently, no. I do
with
write.
With your engineering, are you doing some sort of drawing with the engineering as well?
Well, yeah, some. Mm-hmm. Some with the buildings and so on, yeah.
Hello?
Pertains
Hello?
To construction management.
I think Donna's
yes.
gone.
No, I'm here.
Mike?
Hello?
Hey,
Hello?
Donna?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay,
there you go. We lost you for a moment. Now, with your engineering, are you using a CAD system or anything for drawings or designing
yes.
things? Okay, that's
yes.
the artistic side that I'm picking up on. I think you can do a lot more with that, more creative, and you may be able to take it into a different industry or venue than where you are now, but there's something about this drawing that keeps on coming up for me that is very special for you.
Okay.
Now,
okay,
I wanna
that sounds interesting.
Yeah, one thing I want to share with you, too, that I feel like you need to – this is a time right now for you to – it's pretty much where a lot of people are right now, where you need to find out what brings you joy. And I want you to find out in the engineering part, because like Rose was saying, there are a lot of aspects to that. There's a lot of understanding that you have. It's very left brain, but there's also a right brain aspect to it. What I want you to do is I feel that you need to journal. I'm getting the fact that you need to spend time alone, and I feel you need to journal, and I want you to close your eyes. I know you've never done this before. I want you to get a large, a book that you can journal in, something from the dime store. It doesn't have to be expensive. And I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just start writing. just writing. If you feel like you need to open your eyes, just write. Just say, Spirit, lead me to what exactly it's in your heart what you're supposed to be doing. You're on a journey now to find it. And I feel that the best thing you could do right now is just to spend some time alone and meditate on it. Quit the thinking on it. Don't think anymore on it. Just meditate on it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and I feel that will lead you. You're in a pretty spiritual place down there in Fort Lauderdale, aren't you?
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that I think you have some healing hands, and I feel that you have healing abilities within you, and I also will tell you flat out, you're very, very, very psychic. You're very, very intuitive. And if the first thing that I would do while you're still working as an engineer, Donna, is I would, even if you have to do it online, but I would take some classes down there. Rose and I went down to, Fort Lauderdale, it was Miami. But, yeah, I would take some classes. I know Rose is going to be having one in January. Aren't you on the Soul's Journey Within? Aren't you doing something?
Yeah, it'll be mid to late January.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can write to Donna. She's at rose@energyworks.com, and let her know. Maybe y'all can hook up on
energyworkscenter.com.
Yeah, okay. And then possibly get into a class. Go ahead.
The other message that I'm getting for you too, Donna, and it's applicable to both your career and your spiritual life as well. Seek out some classes. I'm in 100% agreement with Victoria, and consultant, expert, and I'm still going towards this artsy, more creative part of the engineering field.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Okay?
Thank you.
And make sure,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Have a good night.
Bye now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Angel Michael, how are you this evening?
You know it was me, huh?
I know you.
I'm doing well.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, and I want to tell everybody out there, I have the most beautiful angel. And I'm going to give one to Rose. She's going to come visit me at Christmas, and I'm going to give her one that you sent me. I keep it on the back of my car, and I have one in my house. So I just thank you. I love them.
Has it brought you some good luck?
Oh, yeah. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing good.
Yeah?
I have a quick question.
Okay.
I'm working on a couple of little inventions, one with my son who has to do with advertising. For restaurants and shops, and the other one is a home improvement item.
Okay.
Kind of got an inventive mind, as you've noticed.
Well, yeah, if you've seen anything like those angels, you'll do great at it. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping so.
So what, okay, let me make sure I understand the question while Rose is feeling.
Are you asking one of the two, or if you'll be successful at both?
Be successful at both.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel, Michael, and I've never spoken with you before, but I feel that you have the Midas touch, and I feel that you're a born entrepreneur, and that your businesses are surrounded by magical opportunities. So go for it, my friend.
And I'm going to tell you something. I think we talked about this one time when you did call in. You have magic all around you. You have angels that are like glistening in gold. As I look at you, you have a beautiful golden aura this evening, Michael. And it's interesting because you just need to put your intention on what you want to do, and it will go. It will go. And it's interesting that you want to do something with the advertising because you can incorporate them in together. I see that working very well. So I don't think you're going to have any issues with it.
I think he's going to be a part of it, and I think it's going to work well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've not looked at you before in this same light before, but I'm going to ask you a question, Michael. There's something that's changed in your environment or something with you because – you have so much gold in your aura right now that it is beaming. And I've never seen this. I've seen green in your aura before, and I've seen purple in your aura before. I've never seen this much gold in your aura, so I'm not sure what's going on with you. But something, whatever you're doing, keep it up. Okay?
It's your intentions and your thoughts. I just kind of felt I'm on a good path. I don't know. I just have a feeling, that's all.
Yes, you are. I also feel that your son is very professional and businesslike.
He is, yes.
I see him in a white shirt. I feel that you're the creative part of the team, and I see him in a shirt and tie, and he's very professional. So he will be very good at doing the marketing and getting the products out and all that left brain type stuff. And I feel that the two of you are the dynamic duo.
You know, it's interesting because it is that androgynous self. It's like you each have your own unique abilities and then combine them together. You don't have to do the stuff that he's doing and he doesn't have to do the part that you're doing. And what a great team that is.
Yes.
What a great partnership. And I mean, that's just awesome.
You ladies have made my evening.
Well, you called in, so you got it. You know, you're awesome yourself. I mean, you are just, you know, your angels have such, just for all those that are listening in, Michael, I call him Angel Michael. He makes the most beautiful angels, and you feel them. I put it on the back of my Jeep, and I feel so protected. Because I always ask for angels' help, but I just see anyone that drives by my car sees that beautiful purple angel. I mean, they just see it. So I really do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And you're going to do just fine. Y'all are going to have such a good time. You're what people are talking about, living in joy. That's what I feel about you. So.
Well, thank you.
Good luck
thank
to you, Michael.
I'll get off the phone so somebody else can call in.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It was great hearing from you. Call in again, okay? Let us know how your project's going. All right. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm getting an echo. That's weird. Cheryl, how are you? Cheryl?
How are you?
I'm doing great. You're from Cheryl, listen, I'm going to let Rose talk for a moment because, now I don't hear the echo anymore. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, good, Cheryl. Can you hear her, Rose?
Oh, I can hear her fine.
Okay, good. What is your question, Cheryl?
My question is, I'm in a dilemma. I want to know what spirit can advise me to do here. It has to do with my in-laws. My father-in-law was here for Thanksgiving, and his condition has gotten worse with dementia. And my husband is in denial, and I'm very worried for them because I try gently to suggest that he get together with his brothers and try to figure out maybe assisted living or something because it's only going to get worse. And they're both living alone. And, you know, I worry for them a lot, but I don't really want to push it with my husband because, you know, he thinks everything is okay and that it's not a problem. I got to bite my tongue, so...
Well, Cheryl, Rose, go ahead because I've got an echo somewhere along there. Go ahead.
Cheryl, the beginning portion of your question I couldn't hear, but I understand that you're concerned about your father-in-law who has dementia. Is his wife still alive?
Yes, and she falls a lot, but she has a sharp
Because I did sense someone falling, and I was wondering if your father-in-law walked with a cane or not.
But she does have a tripping problem. She falls a lot. But my father-in-law, he goes in and out.
Okay, what I sense is going to happen is because I saw someone falling, and it possibly could be her. She's going to end up being hospitalized, and he's going to be alone. He will be unable to care for himself, and that's when your husband and his brother are going to have to step in. And they're going to see that something's not right here. So it's almost going to be the cosmic 2x4 up the side of the head for your husband because he won't be able to deny it. It'll be right in his face.
And I want to say the same. I was pulling some cards for you, Cheryl, and I'm going to tell you something. I know this is very difficult for you. I know because I have personal understanding. Yet, at the same time, there comes a time where we can't and we can do something. And I think what Rose was talking about is that there is going to come a time where your husband won't be able to deny it. Now, in the meantime, I don't know if you can do this or if your husband has to do it, since they're not, he still is your father-in-law, is to call the assisted, that's not the name of it. I don't know the name of it in New Jersey, but it is the aging, it's the community of aging. I don't know what you're going to call it up there, but go to your local, Google and Google in aging, help or help for the aging. And there are places up there that, Cheryl, that they will come in and aid them. Do you know what I mean by aid?
Well, that's funny that you mention that, because today I was on the internet and I was looking at assisted living facilities where they could both go.
Yeah.
But
you can. But let me tell you, even before they get there, though, Cheryl, before they get there, they will come by the house and help them. So you need to get them on the list for that. All right.
Into assisted living or something.
Oh.
But, you know, there's an empty apartment also where my husband, they have a four-family home. And there's still an empty apartment upstairs from my in-laws. And I told my husband maybe he should stay there during the week, because they're in Brooklyn and we live in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
You know, just so that somebody's there, because the other sons maybe come in once a week to visit. That's it.
Well, but at the same time, Cheryl, I feel that there's so much that you can do, and if your husband's not willing to do that, the only thing you can left to do is to call that assisted living and put them on a waiting list to have somebody come by the house. They may not even have a waiting list up there. Do these folks have any money to pay for anything?
No, but what I have found out is that they have Medicare.
Yes.
And I understand that some assisted living places, when the Medicare pays a certain amount, then they do the paperwork and get them on Medicaid.
Well,
and they pick
that's
up the
exactly
rest of it.
Right, and then they take their Social Security. But let me just tell you something. You need to call these folks now. It'll take away that guilt feeling that you have or that concern. It's not that it's a bad concern, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it'll help you to feel like you're going forward and moving something. Put them on the list and, you know, gather the data. But you're going to have a lot of data to call. You have to have their Medicaid number. You have to have their doctor's numbers. You have to know what medicines they're on. There are a lot of questions they're going to ask you to, you know, so that you're going to have to be able to answer to put them on a list. Because they're usually waiting lists for this type of thing.
Oh, that's an information that my husband or his brothers would have.
Yes, they should have all of that, yeah. They should have all that. And I would suggest doing that before. If they, you know, and if there's things that happen to them, your husband's going to be forced. But this is one of those times, Cheryl, and we all go through this now, where you just have to ask Spirit to protect them. They have their own journey. They have their own way of doing stuff. And most people, Cheryl, want to be independent, even to the point where they're halfway kill themselves. They still want their independence. And I tell you, there are two things that you know, we want our freedom and we want to survive. Those are two things that are inherent to every human being and even the plants and the animals on this planet.
Right,
so,
right.
Freedom
I
and
just
survival.
Feel
so,
for them because they're nice people and I feel my hands are tied. And my husband, it's like beating a dead horse to get him to wake up. And
he
can't
come to it on his own, though.
That's right. Rose is so right. So, but listen, keep us posted, and I'm going to give everybody contact way to reach us because we're going to have to close for the night. But Cheryl, I want to thank you so much for calling in, and we'll send a prayer for you. Okay?
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you, Rose.
And everyone, I want to thank you for visiting with us this evening on the Ask Spirit Now show with Victoria and Rose. And I just want to say that if you want to contact Roseanne, you can go to, and I'll make sure I do it right, energyworkcenter.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's my website.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm so happy I did it right. And mine is askspiritnow.com. So, and if you forget both of them, you can go to BBS and contact the host, which is Victoria. That's myself. And, you know, you can get in touch, you know, with us that way. I've had people contact us that way. So I just want to thank you so much for being here this evening, and I want you to have a blessed, blessed week. And remember to always ask Spirit now. And y'all have a good, good evening, okay? Good night.
Good night.
All right, you did a great job, Doug. Rosie.